Let's turn, let's kind of shift then, kind of shift towards the Word of God. You can join me in Luke chapter 8, if you would like. We'll have, of course, the scriptures on for you to see up on the screen. Yep, well, that's fun. Last week, we talked about how great our God is, how awesome our God is. And he's a big deal, right? Sometimes in this life, we get enamored with what we can do, what mankind can do, and sometimes we forget what God has done and all the things he has put in place, the stars and the sky, the earth in its orbit, everything in perfect order that breeds life, where life just comes forward. And we also talked a little bit about faith. Now, I said, you know, you can have a lot of faith, but where your faith is really crucial, because it's hard to have great faith if you have a little God. And the bigger our God grows, the bigger our understanding and our conceptualizing God, you know, it allows our faith to grow. But I want to talk a little bit more about faith today. Luke 8. Verse 22. I just want to pick up this story, probably very familiar to us. Jesus and his disciples crossing the lake. They did this a few times. So let's pick up this story. It said, one day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and started out. And they sailed across. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came on the lake. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly the storm stopped, and all was calm. Then he asked them, "Where is your faith?" The disciples were terrified and amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "When he gives a command, even the wind and the waves obey him." So you probably know this story quite well. And there's a poignant question that Jesus gets to. And I want to talk about that question, because his interaction with the disciples is really important, and it teaches us a lot. What's going on in this one little story of them crossing the lake? You know, I would say, and you probably know this to be true, but walking with Jesus is not always a safe proposition. In fact, if you've walked with Jesus for any amount of time, you probably realize that safe is not necessarily, it's something we pray for. It's something we desire. It's something we want. God does protect us. He does watch over us. But safe is not always in the cards. You know, for the disciples of Jesus, and this is one example, walking with Jesus can be very challenging. It was very challenging. For those disciples, think of all the things they faced walking with Jesus, just being with him. Storms. People with leprosy coming to Jesus, people who are unclean, demons manifesting. Wherever Jesus went, it seemed like, you know, demons were manifesting, death threats that were given to them, teachings that challenged what they thought or what they understood or what they knew. Jesus was always challenging those things. There was no such thing as a normal day with Jesus. Normal was not normal. Every day had its challenges. That's what it was like being a disciple walking with Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of like the idea of safe, secure, comfortable. I kind of like that idea. Sometimes it's nice just to, I don't know, think of a rainy day curling up in a soft couch with a blanket, and just being safe. You know, we've probably learned lots of life about how to be safe. You know, I don't know what your parents told you or how they spoke to you or how they, you know, taught you to be safe. You know, if you just do the things the smart way, you won't get hurt. Or maybe you've heard this one, don't rock the boat and you won't get wet, right? You won't get wet. Or in the disciples' case, don't get on the boat and you won't face possible storms. Isn't that logical? Isn't that just logical? If we just play it safe, we won't come into dangers. We won't deal with the troubles. I mean, who wants to face the storms, the kind of storms that make you think you're going to die? That's what the disciples were thinking. They were going to think they were going to die. Jesus is taking a nap. They're going to die. Jesus is taking a nap. It didn't make sense to them. It wasn't quite logical. It would have been more logical just to not get on the boat. If I'd just known the storm was coming, I wouldn't have got on the boat. You know, just avoid everything, right? Avoid everything that might produce storms in life. I mean, think about it. If you don't want to be in a plane crash, don't get on a plane, right? Just don't board a plane. You'll never be in a plane crash. Don't drive when there are cars on the road. Then you'll never hit one. You'll never hit a car if you just don't drive when there's cars on the road, right? Logical. Just be logical, right? Never go outside. Because if you never go outside, the sky won't fall on you. It's logical. Play it safe. It's this progressively living life as safe as possibly we can. Shouldn't we all be safe? I know it's a natural desire of ours. But how does this safe life help us to walk with Jesus? How does it really help us in our walk with Jesus? And you know, when our comfort is upset, is God really good? You know, is he really good? I don't know if you noticed, but Jesus seems to attract storms. There's lots of things that happen around Jesus that are quite disrupting. And things like storms, you know, Jesus can sleep right through, but the disciples are afraid. I mean, think about Jesus. He upsets the normal. He upsets the safe. He does things. He almost goes looking for trouble. I mean, think about him overthrowing the money changers table in the temple. I mean, did he have to do that? Wasn't that kind of upsetting? I mean, it was almost like he was looking for trouble on that day. Did he have to have such a bold statement about the Father's house and drive everybody out? Couldn't he have played it safe? I'm sure the disciples probably thought that at times, walking with Jesus. Couldn't he just play it safe? But I believe there's a lesson here. If we just think about what it is to walk with Jesus, if you want to walk with Jesus, if you want to be his disciple, we really have to get to a place where we abandon the notion of safe and easy. Now, I'm not talking about God being our protector. He is our fortress. He's our protector. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a life of comfort, a life of ease, a life of safe, where there's no risk involved. Living in a bubble, so to speak. Living in a bubble with Jesus. Nothing can harm us. Nothing can challenge us. Life is just smooth sailing. But let me suggest to you this morning that that lifestyle is a lifestyle that avoids discipleship. That lifestyle avoids our calling to live a life of faith. God does not call us to a life formulated for easy and pain-free. And we know that, so I'm probably not telling you anything new. But I am speaking to our nature which wants to go the way of smooth sailing, smooth waters. Now, I use some humorous examples. But fear is a real thing in our lives. And people have fears of all kinds of things. Some people do fear a falling sky and a falling planes out of the sky and that kind of thing. And that's a real thing. So it's a hard thing to overcome. And fear does terrible things to people. It really does. We know and we see and we've experienced fear ourselves. It does terrible things to people. Fear, can cause even our lives to come to a standstill if we let it grip us. It can cause our lives to come to standstill. It can stop us from living the way we were called to live. Fear can stop us from living the life God has called us to live. When challenges come, when hard things come in our lives, and they do, we know they do, right? Life cannot be just smooth sailing. There's a response. There's a response that we can have to every challenge and trouble in life. And that response is faith. Faith. Something so crucial to each and every one of us. Something we're called to do. Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 16 speaks of faith. Paul says, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." The righteous will live by faith. That's you. That's me. That's every one of us who calls on the name of Jesus. We're called to live by faith. Faith is not just being an idea. It's not just an idea. It's not just a concept, a nice precept. It's not just some abstract belief without concrete measures. If faith is something you have, faith is something I have. You believe in Jesus. You believe in life that God will take you from this life to the next, that you have believed in him for your salvation. You have faith. Each and every one of us has faith. Nobody here can say, "I don't have faith." We all have faith. Yet there's a living faith, an everyday faith that we're to exercise and to use. It is something that lives in us. And it's important to how we face everyday life. Scripture tells us that the righteous live by faith. They live in such a way. So it's telling us, and the implication is, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of the believer to live by faith. The Bible tells us there's measures of faith. There are those in the Bible who have little faith. There are those in the Bible who have great faith. There are those who are lacking faith. And there certainly is growing faith. But no matter the measure of our faith, it will be tested. On that boat, on the lake, when the storm rose up, the faith of the disciples was tested, absolutely tested. I think it was intentional. I think somewhere along the line, you know, God said, "I'm bringing the storm." Jesus said, "All right, bring it. I'm going to take a nap." I don't believe it's just by, oh, just random storm. And whoever caused it, I don't know. I mean, they're going to deliver a man of a legion of demons. Who knows? It might have been the enemy trying to keep them away. But storms do rise. And God says, "All right, my people need storms. They need them." Do you ever think, "Oh, I need a storm today. Lord, could you bring me a storm? I need a challenge today. I need a test. Oh, Lord, test me. I just need a good old test." You ever think that? Oh, because it's not to our nature, is it? It's not really our nature to think that way. Now, I think once you start understanding how faith grows, you might change your mind and you might think a little differently to say, "Lord, I want my faith to grow." Because when you ask, "I want my faith to grow," you're asking, "Lord, test me. Challenge me. Give me a storm." Storms are not terrible things. They're not bad things, especially when Jesus is in the boat with you. You're not going to die when Jesus is in the boat with you, even though it may feel like you're going to die. Right? Feelings are a funny thing. Your feelings ever get you kind of wayward in one way or the other? We feel like we're going to go over. We feel like we're going to be capsized. Come on, Jesus, wake up, do something. And this is sometimes our prayer life. Like, God, I'm experiencing all this in life, and where are you? Are you sleeping? Why don't you do something, God? We pray that way sometimes, whether we realize it or not. We approach God that way sometimes. Like, God, are you awake? Because it feels like my life is going overboard. Could you wake up and do something? And of course, at the end, they were amazed. They were amazed at this God who speaks to storms. And he says, you can too. When you walk in the authority of Christ, when you walk in faith, when you understand what faith is doing and growing in your life, you can speak to storms too. Do we have the faith to do it? There is a living faith that works in us and in our lives. And it will be tested. It will be tested. The challenges and struggles of life, it will be tested. There's a story about a boy who took his little boat on a lake. He went fishing. He enjoyed going fishing. And he was enjoying his sport of catching the next big fish. And he couldn't wait to tell the stories. Couldn't wait to tell all of his stories that evening. But before his fishing was done, a storm rose up suddenly and surprised him. And he was trying to get to shore, but he couldn't get to shore in time before his boat capsized and he was in the water. Now, he could swim. And when he got his head above water, he looked around, and what he saw a great big rock, and he swam to the rock and climbed up on the rock. And there on the rock, he held fast and held strong until the storm died down. Then he went home and he told his story of facing the storm. And his mom asked him the obvious question. He said, well, son, were you scared? Were you fearful? Were you trembling as you clung to that rock? He said, yes, mom. I was afraid. I was shaking and I was trembling. I was shaking so violently, but I took great comfort that the rock in which I clung to never shook once. Now, we all need a rock. We all need a rock to cling to. We all need a rock to hold fast to. Because the storms will come. Our boat will be upset. We'll get thrown in the water. We will get wet. But we need to have a rock that cannot be shaken. No storm can shake the rock that we cling to. We need a rock that will not move. We all need to know this rock and to know it very well. You know, it seems like faith grows in us when we face hardships, because it seems like we come to know that rock a little bit more. We come to know the crevices and we know how to hold on to the rock when we really need to hold on tightly. We search out the rock when life is challenged. And we learn how to stand and to stand on the rock. You know, problems do go beyond us and are bigger than us. And that's okay. It's okay to face problems that are bigger than us, where we don't know what to do. And we don't know what to do. And our problems may be bigger, but the realization is God is bigger than our problems. There's no problems that's ever bigger than God. You know, it's things that we face in life give us opportunities for our faith to grow. In many ways, faith is like a muscle. I don't know if you have ever thought about this, but faith is like a muscle. It needs to be used. It needs to be exercised. The more you live by faith, the more your faith will grow. And yet, like a muscle, faith can decline in our lives as well when not used. Even atrophy can step in when not used at all. Just like an arm when broken, muscle will deteriorate in a cast. But what we find is where faith grows the most are in times of challenge in times of trouble, in times where we're put to the test. And it's at this point that the question comes, do you really believe God? You have faith, but do you really believe in God? Do you really trust Him? Does your prayer life activate your faith? Does your confession of God's word hold strong? Are you clinging to the rock? You know, we all like comfortable, each and every one of us, and we'll search it out. We do. We all do. We search out comfortable. And we'll work hard even to have a very comfortable and even undisturbed life where there's no challenges in sight. But in this kind of life, we don't realize that our faith can grow weak because we can fashion a life for ourselves that is self-sufficient. And we may know truths like God can do all things. We can know truths. But we can design a life where we never apply those truths because we create a life of self-sufficiency where we can do it. We don't need God. And we sometimes realize that that's the way we like it. But we have to get outside of relying on ourselves. And we have to learn to rely on God. And God puts us in situations like this. And it stretches us out of our comfort zone. And we don't like. We don't like to be in the boat when the storm comes up. But Jesus asked the disciples the question, and he asked us the same question. Where's your faith? When the storms come, when the troubles come, when difficulties that you face, there's a question of where is your faith? We know the disciples had faith. They'd given up everything to follow Jesus. If you think about it, disciples had faith. I mean, Jesus wasn't saying they had no faith, but he was saying, where is your faith? You know, their faith was challenged by the storm, and it seemed the storm was simply greater than their faith. And Jesus here in his question is making a point that faith needs application in life. Faith must be applied. So when the challenge comes, when the difficulties come, there must be an application of faith for faith to work. And faith doesn't just work, right, when the waters are calm. It has to work when there's trouble in the water. You know, we can all get along with God and with faith quite well when the water is calm. But it's when the storms rage that we need a living, active, and applied faith in our lives. This is where we need our faith the most. You know, we can have faith, but if we don't exercise our faith, we can become people like people that have no faith. And God says, no, I'm calling you to apply your faith. The disciples sometimes had little faith, and Jesus told them, oh, you have little faith. There was several times throughout the scriptures. But their mindset was to grow in their faith. And we see that in Luke 17:5. The disciples realized that, yes, they had lack of faith. And so they make a plea to Jesus. And he says, the apostles, they asked him, they said, show us how to increase our faith. Show us, Lord. Teach us. Because we realize that our faith is lacking. We realize we don't have this great faith. Would you show us how to increase our faith? You know, there should be times when we look into God's word. You know, when we feel the challenges of life come against us, that it's difficult to sometimes even have faith. We can have the same cry that the disciples had, the same plea that the disciples had on that day. It's like, Lord, increase our faith. Show us how to have greater faith. It's an honest declaration before God. It's an honest declaration that says, living by faith is not easy, and Lord, we need help. We need your help. Help us, Lord. Help us to have faith. And God is glad to meet this kind of heart cry. See, this heart, God, the Lord loves when we come to him and says, Lord, we don't have, but you do. We look to him and say, Lord, increase our faith for everything that we're facing in life. You know, engaging our faith is not automatic. The Lord doesn't ever want us to go alone. He doesn't want us to construct a life where everything will, where really faith is not necessary. He wants us to know our need for him. And he wants us to engage our faith, but it's not automatic. It's not automatic. It's something we must consciously do. Especially when the storm rises, we must consciously activate our faith. Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of the 20th century's most gifted preachers, authors, and theologian, he said this about faith. He said this in one of his sermons. He said, we seem to think that faith is something that acts automatically. Many people conceive of faith as it were something similar to those thermostats which are connected with a heating apparatus. You want to maintain the temperature at a certain point, and it acts automatically, right? Set it and forget it. Set it and forget it. The principle taught here is that faith is an activity. It is something that has to be exercised. It does not come into operation itself. You and I have to put it into operation. We have to put it into operation. It's not automatic. It requires activity. It requires exercising. And he gives us opportunities to grow faith muscle, where we have to trust. We have to believe. We have to hold tight to him. We have to pray. We have to seek him. So we should never be surprised when our well-organized life that's comfortable gets upset. And yeah, God let it happen. Because he knows that we need to grow. You know, God is more interested in our growth than our comfort. He cares more about our growth than our comfort. And it's a terrible theology. And I've heard that theology said that God just wants me to be happy. I don't know where that came from, but that's just bad theology. I've heard it said, though. I have heard it said. You know, God's more impressed by our growing faith than how well we can live out an undisturbed, smooth, undisturbed life. So the reality is you and I will be challenged. Our faith will be challenged. You know, think about all the challenges that we face in life. We're challenged to love others well. We're challenged to forgive others who have hurt us. We're challenged to bless those who have turned their backs on us. You know, I need faith to serve God well. We need faith giving him our time and our resources. It requires us to trust God. It requires us to trust God that he can use my life and your life for his glory. And that he won't forsake us and he won't forget us. You know, we need faith to face overwhelming tasks. When life seems too much, we need faith. We need faith to deal with evil and injustice in this world. We need faith when we're tired of all the battles that we've had to face in life, and sometimes we just want to give up. We need faith. We need faith when we don't see the solutions, but faith lets us know that God has the solutions. You and I need faith in the valley to walk through the valley with God on our side. We need faith to give when we don't feel like giving. We need faith to love when we don't feel like loving. We need faith to serve others when we're tired of serving. I've done enough. I'm done. I'm tired. We need faith. We need faith when it seems that nobody cares. So we're tempted to not care like everybody else. We need faith when tempted with sin, because it just seems easier to give in to the temptation. We need faith. We need faith for so many things in life, everyday life. even our thought life and all the things that want to bombard us and just say, give up, pack it in. You can't do it. You have no hope. The enemy wants to bombard us in so many ways, but the reality is we must live by faith. We need to live by faith every day of our lives. If we will trust God in every area of our life, and specifically the area right now that's the storm of your life, if we will trust God, our faith will grow. Our faith will grow. It's like lifting that weight. Lifting those weights, when we start to lift those weights, our muscles will grow. They'll grow if we exercise our faith, trusting God in every area of life. So don't be discouraged when things seem to get beyond your ability and beyond your capacity. Don't be discouraged. Take great courage. You're under a test. You're under a challenge. It's time to exercise your faith. If you'll trust God, if you'll lean into Him, He's the rock who will hold you in the time of storms. Our faith will grow and we will grow. And you'll have testimonies. That's good, church. Because, church, we need to have testimonies. Everybody in here has testimonies, and we're not done with having testimonies. There's more testimonies to have. There's more victories to win. There's more battles where we overcome, and we overcome how? By faith. By faith. We will mature. We will come up higher, because as we come with God, as He calls us to go higher, to go up, He gives us the strength. He gives us the ability. He does things in us that we don't think we can do, frankly. But He knows what we can do when we live by faith, when we live in Him. So we will have testimonies, church. We will have testimonies. And testimonies not just for you. Yes, they're for you, but they're for others. To encourage, you see, because you need to encourage the person where you won the battle, where you won the victory. You need to encourage the person who's going through that battle right now, who's going through that struggle right now, and they want to give up. But your testimony of where you live by faith and you saw the victory, that testimony is going to help somebody else to live by victory as well. So write your testimonies down and share your testimonies, because there's someone struggling, someone you meet at Walmart, someone you meet at the grocery store, someone you meet in the restaurant you go to. They need to know what it is, what it's like to live by faith. They need to know. They need to know this God who they can turn to, who will strengthen them in times of trouble, in all times. They need to know that they can live a life of victory, of overcoming, not based on feelings, not based on all the bad experiences they've had in the past, but based on what Christ has done and will do for them. So, church, let us live by faith. God calls us to live by faith. There's really no other way to live as a believer. Embrace the wonderfulness of what it means to trust God, to really, really trust Him in everything. It's a blessing in disguise. Amen. Amen.